And you know, I mean, you saw the idolatry, you saw everything else, the churches, the buildings, the crucifixes, the statues, the traditions, everything but Jesus Christ. But we just want to go there and give Jesus Christ his rightful place. They can't even see him with all that junk. So, say, how are you going to do it? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen? Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. And let's read verse number 1. Book of Jonah, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, verse number 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But the Lord said in verse number 2, he said, arise, go. Arise, go. Now, in recent days, my wife was talking to someone, a man, and this man posed a question to Nicole, and he said, what if you don't go? She was kind of taken aback. I was kind of taken aback because, folks, we have no intention of not going. So it's kind of a weird question. We didn't really think, what if we don't go? So then I started thinking to myself, what if I don't go? What if I don't go to Sicily? What if we don't do what God has called us to do? And the Lord drew my attention to this scripture here in Jonah's story. And it says here, God said to Jonah, arise, go. And now, of course, we know that Jonah attempted not to heed that call. And so, but our call to Sicily, folks, I believe began with my call to preach in the winter of 1994. Began at a winter camp meeting in Beaver Creek, Ohio. As I watched my pastor preach, I was a new Christian. I got saved in 1992. I was just experiencing these new things in Christ, such as a camp meeting where all it was preaching and glorifying God and singing. And so pastor would preach, and then the Holy Spirit of God would be on me, and the Holy Spirit of God would say to me as he preached, I want you to do that. Five words, I want you to do that. And so, for 2 weeks after I got back from that camp meeting, I argued with God. And I told God, you know what? You got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong person. And so, I argued with him for 2 weeks, and I wrestled with the Lord for 2 weeks in regards to his call to preach on my life. And I made all kinds of excuses, and I told him that I'm the wrong guy. And then on a Friday night, I was reading my Bible. And I was reading in the book of Exodus, if you turn there. I was reading in the book of Exodus, chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4, in verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And here's what got me. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And so when I read that in verse number 11, who hath made a man's mouth? You know what? I had no more excuse, just like Moses had no more excuse. Amen? So I said, all right, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'll do it, but you have to help me every time. And I can say honestly that the Lord has helped me every time that when I stand up to open my mouth for him. Amen? And so I told the Lord, if you help me, I'll do it. And I've heard through preaching over the years that if you're willing, God is able. That's all he's looking for, folks. I remember when we first got called to the mission field, I thought to myself many times, about that story in the Gospels of Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000 and that little lad that came up to the Lord with those loaves and those fishes. And then Philip says to the Lord, he says, here's a lad with the loaves and fishes. And then he says, but what are these among so many? And I thought to myself many times, we're called to be missionaries. Lord, what are we among so many other people? And the Lord said, are you willing? I said, yes, Lord, we're willing. He said, that's all I want. That's all I want. I was telling Pastor today when we got called to the mission field, and I told you folks just now, I never thought in a million years God would ever do that. But never say never. Never say never. And I think it's only because we said we're willing to do it. Anything you want, God, we're willing to do. But here's the Lord. Moses argued with him. The Lord shut his mouth. The Lord shut my mouth. And then, little did I know that 15 years later in our camp meeting in 2009, the Lord would tell me the same things once again that he told Moses here in verse number 12. He said to Moses in verse number 12, now therefore go. And in verse number 15, he says, and in the middle of the verse, he said, I will be with thy mouth and will teach you what you shall do. And so he has, and so he continues to do. Folks, I've gotten to the point in my Christian life where really, I try not to make any decisions. You know what I mean? We don't run this thing. He runs it. We don't make the decisions for our life. He makes the decisions for our life. Amen. So he has, and so he continues to do. But the question now arises, what if I don't go? Now, we know how Jonah's story ends. If you turn back to the book of Jonah, we know how Jonah's story ends. We know how Jonah's story ends. Ultimately, Jonah does go. But what would have been the leftovers of his story had he not gone? What if he did not go? How would the story have ended? What if I do not go? How will my story end? Folks, what if you don't go? How will your story end? How will your story end? So for the message tonight, I just have five consequences of not going. Five consequences of not going. Number one is found in Jonah chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And it says there, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth wares that were in the ship into the sea, the lightning of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I like to say, first of all, if I don't go, I will find no pleasure outside of his presence. If I don't go and do what God has told us to do, I will find no pleasure outside of his presence. Folks, I can tell you tonight, I know when I'm in the will of God, and I know when I'm out of the will of God. And I know what it feels like to be in the will of God, and I know what it feels like to be out of the will of God. Now, I don't know what Jonah thought. Somehow he convinced himself that if he just did his own thing and went in his own way and he ran from God, somehow Jonah convinced himself that things would be all right. And he did so much to the extent that he could fall asleep in a ship during a storm and not feel a thing and not think anything about it and somehow sleep quietly, sleep tightly, sleep with a peaceful rest, not knowing and not realizing that everything around him was falling to pieces. Isn't that amazing? And a lot of Christians are in that very same place. But I can tell you from personal experience, I know what it is to be out of the will of God. And I'm going to lay some things out tonight because I think that God puts us through things to help other Christians. And I pray tonight that what I say tonight from my personal testimony and my personal experience will be a help to somebody in this room. Now, I graduated from Bible Institute in 2005. And I graduated from Bible Institute and I thought to myself, I've learned all I can learn here. Surely there must be something out there that I can do for the Lord. And so I got the thought in my head, well, you know, there's this place called Oregon where my wife is from, and they call it the preacher's graveyard out there. So my wife's from out there. She knows the lay of the land, and it's the preacher's graveyard, and, you know, after all, I'm a preacher. And, you know, they sure need churches out there, and they sure need pastors. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take me a survey trip, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to find out where they need a church, and I'm going to start a church. Now, you notice as I say all that, there's a lot of I in that. And nowhere in that story did I tell you I prayed, I asked God for direction in my life, I asked God what His will is for my life. It was all, I come to find, you couldn't tell me, preacher. When I was going through all that, you could not tell me that that was not God's will for my life. You couldn't say that to me. Because surely it's a need. Well, we went out there, my wife and I. We drove up and down I-5 there in Oregon. Runs through the state. I don't know how many cities we went to, how many cities we surveyed. And listen, I thought I had joy in my heart. I thought I had peace in my heart. And we were there and we rejoiced together in what we were finding. And we even had a city that we thought we should go to. But don't you know, when we came back to Connecticut, I was miserable. I was miserable. I had no joy. I had no peace in my heart. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on? I mean, all I'm trying to do is do something for you and fulfill a need here in this state. What's going on? Now, my pastor never told me, and he never approached me, and he never said anything to me that, you know what, I don't think this is the right idea. I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think this is God's will for your life. He just let me go on, and he prayed. He prayed I wouldn't do something stupid, preacher. Me not knowing that, I know now that if I had gone and done that, it would have been a complete and utter disaster. And so I don't know what Jonah was thinking here, but all around him, it's becoming a complete and utter disaster, and Jonah's asleep. I thank God he woke me up, preacher. My pastor never said anything to me, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I said one day, I said to my wife, I said to Nicole, I said, we're not going to Oregon. I blew her mind. All right? Because she thought I had it together and I knew what was going on. Well, obviously, I didn't. And so I went to pastor. I went in the pastor's office. I said, preacher, I said, I'm not going to Oregon anymore. And I expected him to tear me a new one, rip me up and down, call me the biggest idiot on the face of the earth. You know what he said to me, preacher? He said, well, at least now you know that's not God's will for your life. That's it. Gracious, merciful. And you know what? I said, Lord, I will stick around at Landmark Baptist Church for as long as you want me to and accomplish and do anything it is here that you want me to do until you really do reveal your will for our life. And when you do it, we'll do it. And so 2005 went by. 2006 went by. My pastor asked us to take over the bookstore and the church. My wife and I did that. 2007 went by. 2008 went by. Pastor asked me to start teaching Bible Institute. So I did that. And we continued just to serve in our local church until God revealed to us in 2009 His will for our life. Go to Sicily. You say, why you say all that, folks? I'm just trying to testify to you. Had I gone my own route, had I persisted in my own way, it would have been a complete and utter disaster, and I would have no pleasure outside the presence of the Lord. That makes sense? I know what it is not to have God's presence in my life. I don't know if you know, folks, but if you don't have God's presence in your life as a Christian, it's terrifying. It's confusing. It's fear, it's doubt, it's miserable. But we know now the other side of that thing. to know God's perfect will. People said when we got called to Sicily, they said, how are you going to do it? That's a big job. I said, I have no earthly idea how we're going to do it. But I thought about Abraham. When God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and the Bible says he went to a place that he didn't know heretofore, or he didn't know of before. And God, you know what God did for Abraham? He led them all away. Did Abraham have all the answers? Nope. But God said, go. Do I have all the answers? Nope. But God said, go. Amen. So if I don't go, if you don't go, I'm telling you folks, if you don't go, whatever it is God's called you to do, if you don't do it, you'll have no pleasure outside the presence of the Lord. You can take vacations, you can go on a cruise like Jonah did, but you'll have no pleasure in it. Number two, if I do not go, I will lose the power of my profession. Verses 8 through 11 of chapter 1, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Folks, if I don't go, if you don't go, you know what will happen to us? We'll lose the power of our profession. They asked Jonah, they said, who are you and where are you from? And Jonah's answer was kind of tame, kind of lame. He says, well, you know, I'm just a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God of heaven. So, in other words, you know what he said to him? He said what a lot of backslidden Christians say, that you and I, you go to visit them, and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Why didn't Jonah tell him? Why couldn't Jonah say, I'm God's prophet with God's message on God's mission, and I need to get to a place and preach to a people so that they can be saved? Jonah couldn't say that. You know why? Because he was out of God's will. And if I get out of God's will and I don't do what God told us to do, I lose the power of my profession. I could never stand up and say the great things that God has done in my life. I could never say this is God's will for my life. I could never say any of that. The most I could say is, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I'm serving in my local church. Yeah, I believe God. Out of God's will. Not really being able to profess what it is that God called me to do, or what it is that God was doing in my life, or God did in my wife's life. That's a miserable place to be, folks. You lose the power of your profession. He lost the power of his profession. And number three, if I don't go, listen now, if you don't go, people will press on in their own power. People will press on in their own power. Look at verses 12 and 13, chapter 1. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Folks, don't you know that in that country of Sicily, in that country of Italy, you saw in the video. You know it by being an American ex-Catholic. They're relying on their works to get to heaven. They're relying on their efforts. They're relying on everything they do. Just like these mariners were relying on the strength of their own arm. They're relying on the power of the flesh. They're relying on what work they could do to get them through the storm. And it doesn't work. You know what would have worked? If Jonah did what he was supposed to do. If Jonah told God, God, I'm sorry. And the lives of this entire crew is in danger. And this entire crew might die and perish because I'm out of your will. He left these men to rely on their own efforts. And had he not gotten out of that ship, who knows what would have happened. Folks, if I don't do and I don't go where God wants me to go with my wife, there's people over there in Sicily. You know what? They're relying on their own efforts to get to heaven. And they're never going to get there. They're never going to get there. People will press on in their own power. And they'll perish. That's what will happen to them. If I don't go. Preacher, if you don't go. I'll find no pleasure outside of His presence. I'll lose the power of my profession. People will press on in their own power. Number four, people will push out the prodigal. Verse number 14 and 15. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now I know that the brethren are forgiving and they can be forgiving or they're supposed to be forgiving. But listen, if I don't go, I don't know how welcome I'd be in churches or how welcome I'd be in Christian circles. I'll always be looked at as the guy who started to build, but then he stopped. I'll always be looked at out of the side of the eye as the guy, you know, he couldn't finish. That's the guy who professed that he was going to do something for God, and you know what? He's a bad example. He didn't do it. You know, they tossed him out of the ship. Now, I don't think I'd come in here and Pastor Veach would toss me out of the church, but I guarantee you folks would look at me different. Amen. And you know what? You say, well, you know, you're not here to please men. I'm not here to please men. But I'd always know I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And everybody else would always know I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And a young Christian or a young man who's called to preach or some young person who's called to the mission field could look at my life and say, well, he didn't do it and he didn't accomplish God's will for his life, so why in the world should I? I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. Number five, if I do not go, if you don't go, the Lord may put me through perdition. Verse number 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now I believe with all my heart, and doctrinally you may believe this also, that Jonah right here died and went to hell. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died and went to hell, and then he was brought up out of hell. Now, if I don't go, I know I'm not going to lose my salvation. I know I'm not going to go to hell. But have you ever heard this phrase? I'm sure you have. You probably thought it sometimes. My life is a living hell. You've heard people say that. If I don't go, God would be in every bit of His rights to put me through some real tough stuff, to teach me my lesson. I guarantee you, after Jonah got through his experience in that fish's belly, after he got through with dying and going to hell, he came up kind of not wanting people to go there. Amen. Kind of had a different opinion about God's will for his life and took it more seriously. Amen. Now, Jonah suffered the chastisement of the Lord for doing wrong. And you and I know that we can suffer the chastisement of the Lord for doing wrong. And we know we can suffer from the Lord, not chastisement, but simply suffer for the Lord for doing right. Because God's trying to make us into what it is that He wants us to be. And He's fully within His rights to do that. We got called to the mission field in August of 2009. We're gearing up for deputation. We're gearing up for our survey trip. In January of 2010, I went to the doctor for my physical for the year. I had some strange bleeding. Other than that, I didn't feel any pain, any kind of discomfort, any change in my body that made me feel like I was sick. However, the doctor said, "All right, listen, there's something there. There's a mass." He goes, "You're too young for cancer, so it's probably nothing." He saw something, but said it's probably nothing. He said, "But I want you to go to the gastrointestinal guy and have him take a look at it, and just for safety's sake. So I went to that guy. That guy said, oh, he's like, there's something there. He said, but you're too young. I'm 45 in December, going on eternity. That's what I like to say. Amen. But he said, you're too young. He said, probably not cancer. He said, but for we better check it out. We better take some of it out, and we better send it to biopsy. So sure enough, they sent it to biopsy, and I get a call from the surgeon a few days later, and the surgeon says to me, you need to come to my office. And so he says to me, he says, we need to take that out of there. I said, well, why is that? He said, because it's cancer. So here we are, Christians endeavoring to do God's will, gearing up to do God's will, and God sees fit to give me cancer. People say, oh, the devil did it. If the devil did it, God allowed him to do it. Amen? Amen. So I give credit to God. I don't give credit to the devil. I had surgery in April of 2010. I went through chemotherapy and radiation for the entire year of 2010. I got through with chemotherapy and radiation in January of 2011. You know what got us through that? I was telling your preacher today. The fact that we knew that God wanted us on the mission field. Our fear was we knew we were going to come out of it, but our fear was, how are we going to come out of it? I'm standing before you today, healthy and whole, folks. God, you know why he did that? He did that to show us I can get you through the toughest situation here or on the mission field. Physical illness, I can take care of that. I'll let you get it. I'll get you through it. I'll hurt you and I'll heal you. Amen? I say, that's unexpected though. That's God putting you through something, not for doing wrong, but for doing right. And folks, once again, he's right, whatever he does. So praise the Lord. I'm healthy and whole today. On deputation for the last year. Going strong with meetings now. Praying that God would give us more so that we can continue on in the full strength that God would give us so that we can get to the place that he's ordained that we be. So that physical problem, during that physical problem, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it that I can do while I'm here in the States? I can't go on my survey trip. I can't go on deputation because I got to be here for them to pump this poison in my veins. So what can I do while I'm laying on my back? The Lord said, take that Bible Institute that you graduated from, start translating that into Italian, and start sending it over to Brother Galeotto in Sicily. And so that's what I did. Folks, even on my back, you know what I want to be? I want to be profitable for Lord Jesus Christ. People say, oh, Brother Brian, you have cancer. You can't. Listen, I was sick. I wasn't dead, okay? So that was done. We got through that. We started gearing up again for deputation. We started gearing up for our survey trip. We went on our survey trip last October. Some of the best 3 weeks in my entire life. Nothing better than going on the street, serving the Lord with another Christian and his family, passing out gospel tracts, wearing those sandwich boards, having people read the gospel in front of you and behind you. Amen. Preaching on the street, having people stand there and listen. Me and Brother Sal make a good team. I was the American. I was the weird American, okay, in the piazza. Now, I knew two verses in Italian. That was it. The rest I preached in English. But what happened was I gathered the crowd because I was the weird American preaching in English. So I gathered the crowd, and once the crowd was there, Brother Sal would translate what I was preaching into Italian. Amen. Amen. I said, listen, I'm happy to be the weirdo for Jesus Christ. Amen. I may not learn Italian just so I can draw a crowd. Let him do the work. No. So... So we went on our survey trip. We came back from our survey trip, and my wife and I have been endeavoring to adopt a child of our own. So Sister Janet prayed for us while we were there. No, listen, we got off the plane in Connecticut coming home. We're driving home from the airport with Brother Axel. I don't know if you guys know Brother Axel from our church. He's a blessing. He picked us up from the airport. We're driving home from the airport, and I get a phone call. And it's a phone call about a little boy, 18 months old, that is up for adoption. So we're happy, we're excited, we're joyful. We're like, oh, this sounds like the one. And so that little boy came into our home. in the day before Thanksgiving of 2011. My birthday is December 1st. You know what that was to me? That was Thanksgiving, Christmas, and my birthday all rolled into one. And my wife is January in January, but that was her birthday too. All rolled into one, folks. A beautiful boy, we named him Ethan. The state was going to terminate rights on the parents, and so that whole thing was wrapped up in court. But 5 months later, God saw fit to take that boy back. The judge ultimately decided that Ethan should have a chance to be raised by his father. 5 months of loving a little boy who started to call us mommy and daddy. 5 months of praying with that little boy at night before he went to bed. Got to the point where we'd fold our hands to pray and we'd say, Ethan, we're going to pray now. And Ethan would say, amen, before we even got to the prayer. He'd start to say, we had a little children's Bible for him. We'd read him a one-page Bible story every night before he went to bed. He started to say Bible. He'd say Bibble. So, amen, Bibble. And he'd start to sing the B-I-B-L-E in the car. And he was really getting something. And he loved us. And he bonded with us. And we loved him. And then God said, you know, I'm going to take him away from you. I'm going to give him back to his birth father. Folks, cancer was my body. That little boy leaving our home, that was our heart. Folks, even in the will of God, the Lord may put you through perdition. He sent Jonah, literally sent Jonah to hell, put him through hell. God puts us through things to make us more like Jesus Christ. I know the pain and sorrow of loss. When Ethan left our home, I said to my wife, you know what? We feel like how somebody would probably feel if they lost a child to death. I thank God for what He put us through. I thank God for the situations. He humbled us. He showed us that He can get us through the worst of situations. He showed us that we could hurt, terribly hurt, but that we could also heal. That we could also go on for God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight. God's good all the time, folks. What if I don't go? What if you don't go? We'll find no pleasure outside of His presence. We'll lose the power of our profession. People will press on in their own power. People will push out the prodigals. The Lord may put us through perdition. You know what God's intention was for Nineveh? God's intention for Nineveh was to give them a man, to give them a message, and to give them some mercy. If I don't go to Sicily, they may not get the man, they may not get the message, and they may not get God's mercy. And you know what? That'll be my fault. Not his fault. If Jonah did not go, they would not have the opportunity to repent and turn to God. And if you and I don't go, again, people might perish. Now the word of the Lord came saying, arise, go. Amen. That's all I have tonight, preacher.